Hello, welcome to How We Roll podcast does carry on Master Nine Athatap. I guess that's what we're playing. We have gathered together some of the cream of Call of Cthulhu broadcasters from across the world, and we are approaching this scenario with the ultimate precision and guile that you can imagine, while the writer of the scenario itself guides us gently like puppets through his carefully crafted railroad.
So I tried to explain in chat what's happened for people who've just arrived, and it just makes no sense. This confusion. Joe has so far got drunk, got sick of himself, bought new clothes, and upset local
market. I didn't buy any clothes. That's the sad thing. I feel I have less clothes than when I went out. So anyway, before we
that's someone's summary of the whole show.
Before we derail this even further, again, my name's Joe, and I'm playing Sebastian Danvers, a professor who's on holiday from his sanity, apparently. Owen.
I'm playing Sean Rickledy. I still can't voice that, guys. An Irish sailor who's ended up in Lima and on this mad adventure with a crazy Scotsman.
Hey, I'm Veronica, and I am playing Tess, and I just enjoy watching men disrupt local economies and murder old ladies.
She doesn't murder. She was described as bodily harm.
That's fair.
Pretty sure it was murder. I'm hoping it was murder after the God conversation, but...
Yeah, I'm Seth Skorkowski. I'm playing Dwayne Kempa, who, believe it or not, is not an idiot. Just I have an intelligence of 90. Just, you can be smart, but a little, dense.
I mean, in all fairness, you've actually approached this scenario with sense. It would be very sensible, mm-hmm. and probably the right way of doing it. And then we have Murph.
And then we have Murph.
I'm
Keeper Murph. I'm playing the avatar of chaos, William Ruthven. Yeah, I'm having a blast.
And Scott, I'd love to say the architect of this.
please don't blame me for this.
It's been glorious. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Yes. So, just to recap where we managed to get to. McNulty and Ruthven had this cunning plan to go off and try to find out a bit more about Mr. de Mendoza by breaking into his hotel room. In the process, they very successfully, managed to sneak their way up there, then kicked the door open loudly, attracted lots of attention, panicked the hotel proprietor, and then jumped on her from a balcony before, chasing a lot of locals around with a gun, asking where the toilet was.
That's a fair assessment of it right there.
They did, however, find this golden mirror in de Mendoza's room, and in the process of examining it, McNulty found himself exposed to a lot of strange visions, and Ruthven ended up making contact with something greater than himself, who he called upon for power, and his wish may have been granted. We'll see what happens with that. Meanwhile, the rest of you went to the library. the Professor Danvers, in the process, managed to cause a small riot, but not as big a riot as the others. Hid out of the library while the rest of you researched Peruvian fat-eating vampires. And now you're on your way to meet Professor Sanchez of the Archaeology Department at the university. And the three of you are in the company of Jackson Elias, who is taking you off to meet his friend Professor Sanchez. And I think that's where we'll pick things up. And so, it's just coming up to 2 p.m. and you walk across to the Museum of Archaeology and Anthropology, which is a fairly new building. The university itself is very old. It's in fact the oldest university in the Americas. But the museum has been built within the last few years, and is this sort of yellow painted brick structure, two stories tall. Jackson, leads you in through the main entrance, talks a bit to the receptionist, and then leads you down one of the corridors towards Professor Sanchez's office. When you get there, it's, you know, a fairly light, airy room. He's got the windows open, letting a breeze in. I mean, it's not that warm, but the breeze is still welcome with the humidity. The room itself, it's got plaster walls painted white, it's shelves on them showing a number of books and antiquities that he's picked up on various digs. Professor Sanchez himself is a small, slender man, fairly dapper. He's got some slick back dark hair, a neatly trimmed beard and glasses. And, you know, as Jackson knocks on the door and goes in, he gets up and goes over and, you know, warmly greets Jackson and shakes his hand. You know, two of them start talking in Spanish. What are the rest of you doing?
I'll be listening to their conversation.
Ditto.
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly just pleasantries. He's just saying, oh yeah, I hope it's all right. I brought a few friends with me. They're going to be going on the same expedition as I am, and they were very interested in what you might have to say.
Is there any alcohol in the room?
Oh no.
not that he's a lusher or anything. It's just that he's had a really bad day.
No, I mean, there is a pot of coffee, and he does offer you coffee.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been a very, very difficult day. I'm Professor Danvers of Cambridge University, Queen's College.
Oh, yes. I think I read one of your papers once. What would it have been on? I mean, your name is familiar to me.
I'm quite wryly studied. Most recently, I've been focusing on a number of occult treaties that I've found. Actually, on the ancient Incans, I've found this whole area very, very interesting, and decided to focus my studies on it. And I had a bit of holiday time going, and I saw Larkin's post, and I thought maybe this would be a chance for a bit of relaxation.
Oh, well, yes. I mean, that's very exciting. I mean, you know, from what I understand, the expedition Mr. Larkin has in mind is a bit different than that. I mean, sorry, you do speak Spanish, don't you?
Of course, yes.
I mean, he's speaking Spanish. He says, I mean, if this pyramid that he's talking about exists, you know, from what we've managed to research so far, and what what Jackson has told me about, I mean, this is potentially much older than the Incans.
That's very, very interesting. He showed us one of his artifacts that seemed to be dated from the 5th century.
Yes. I heard, Jackson told me a little bit about that. I mean, it sounded like it might have originally come from maybe the Tiwanaku site in Bolivia.
Yes, he said that. It's very, very strange. I mean, it seems that this would be your area of expertise. Why aren't you accompanying us on the trip?
Well, that's a very good question. I've offered, to help Mr. Larkin a number of times, but I don't know. He's been, quite rude, really.
He certainly acted very strangely with us, and he has a very odd friend with him, Mr. Mendoza, or D. Mendoza. Very suspicious.
Yes.
I don't know if you know anything about the man.
Well, I haven't met him myself, but Jackson has told me a bit about him. Yes, he sounds like a most unpleasant man. But yes, anyway, I mean, as far as, what I can help you and Jackson and the rest of your expedition with, there are, some resources that the university's got, which I think might be related to this. There was a diary left by a conquistador by the name of Gaspar Figueroa, who wrote about finding a pyramid that was, seemed to be very similar to this. I mean, it's a very difficult document. I mean, it's written in old Spanish, and he obviously wasn't in his right mind when he wrote it. I've had one of my undergraduates trying to come up with a summary of it and a translation to English for the rest of you. I mean, She's supposed to be joining us. I mean, she believed that the document related to some artifact that we've got in storage down in the storeroom down in the cellars. She was just running down to find it. I mean, you know, she pulls out his watch and takes a look. Maybe it's not where she thought it was. It's taking a bit of time.
That would be very useful. And maybe between the three of us, we'd be able to make it out. I mean, I have some experience of decoding ancient texts. My Spanish is reasonably good, as you can tell. Maybe a bit formal. But no, it'd be very interesting to see.
Yes, well, I'm sure she'll be here soon. Anyway, more coffee.
That sounds rather ominous. You hear someone going into the cellar and not coming back.
I'm sure everything's all right. I mean, it's just the storeroom.
Well, I can go check on her.
Well, would you mind? I mean, I'll stay up here just in case she comes back. I mean, there are a number of ways down there, so it'd be very easy to miss each other.
Oh, sure.
And it's in the cellar. I mean, it's pretty much directly under here. If you go down the corridor, there's a flight of stairs down.
I'll tell you what, I'll go with her. Let the professors do what professors do.
Sure.
Yeah, and Jackson will stay up here with the professors as well.
I'm very comfortable in cellars, especially steam rooms and workshops and stuff. So this is more of my area. So yeah, I'll go with you.
I would come, but I only have one shoe, and it's been a difficult day.
That laugh is canonical, for sure.
He's like, sort of like, ah, ha, 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 and then like crying on the inside.
As the two of you head down towards the cellar, let's cut back towards Mrs. Ruthven and McNulty. So yes, when we left it, Ruthven was there with black eyes and ichor dripping down his cheeks, staring into the mirror and talking in an inhuman voice. What's McNulty doing in reaction to this, besides making a sanity roll?
So he's literally standing like bold upright, he's not falling over, there's no weird stuff happening, no?
No. But I do want that sanity roll because this...
I would sanity roll, but like, yeah. I think I'm doing anything other than like, I've heard these weird like stories, lore stories of, you know, like, yeah, weird deep beings and stuff, being a sailor and stuff. I'm just going to like, wait and see, I guess.
So did you pass your sanity roll?
I did not. I got 77 versus 57.
Okay, so give me a d6 for this.
I got a 6.
6. Can you give me an intelligence roll, please?
Oh, well, there's one thing going for me. I ain't too in... Actually, I'm not that bad. I've got 50 intelligence. Fuck. versus 50. I rolled a 88.
Okay, so you have not appreciated the full horror of the situation. This is a mercy. But you could also give me a Cthulhu Mythos roll just to see whether you can make out any of what Ruthven is saying.
Oh, cool. Versus 10. Look at the whole 10, guys. It's a lot of Mythos. I rolled 99.
99?
Yes.
Okay.
I just think he's, like, really ill with, like, the flu.
No. What you are convinced is that... You know, obviously, you know, with the changes in him and the strange languages that he's speaking in, as he's staring into the mirror, obviously what he is trying to do is, you know, there is something dwelling within this mirror, something that, you know, you made contact with yourself. Obviously, what Ruthven is trying to do here is perform some kind of ritual to draw this entity out, to make it manifest. What are you doing?
Can I stand beside him and somehow encourage him or like aid him or like you can do this? It's gonna happen. Or sorry, Ruthven. We're the worst people on this fucking side of the world. But anyway, no. Can I help him? Maybe? Yes.
So you're trying to assist him in whatever he's doing?
I mean, I'm a superstitious guy and yeah, why not? Catholicism hasn't got well in Ireland. Let's go with this mirror guy.
I mean, with that, Ruthven is beginning to come out of this fugue state. you know, hearing this voice calling to him, and you know, the voice sort of drifts out from your head and drifts in, and the, you know, there's another voice in your ears that's just, you know, telling you, you know, to do it, whatever it is, you have to do it. I mean, the voice you were listening to before didn't have an Irish accent, but this one does.
I'm sorry, when you said you can do it, I got Rob Schneider from the water boy. You can do it!
And yes, as you come out of your fugue state, you find yourself looking into the eyes of McNulty, who is looking at you with you know, sort of almost, you know,
Jesus,
almost mad fever, just, you know, telling you to do it, to bring it forth.
What the hell are you on about?
I mean, I looked into the mirror. It seemed pretty cool. I thought you should do whatever you're doing. I mean, you've got this weird goof coming out of your eyes. Like,
what?
I mean, you seem like some sort of magician guy. That's gonna happen.
Have I got shit all over my face?
There is
or
black
what?
Gunk all over your face. Yeah.
What the hell is this, man? Where the hell was I? Are we still in the damn? What the hell is going on?
Hold up. What happened? Like, what did you see? Because I just
I talked
some
to
bad
God.
Shit.
I talked to God, like a one-on-one.
I actually, that's a good point. You should probably make a sanity roll for this experience.
Yeah, I was wondering, yeah. I was thinking maybe
you shouldn't have
played up
the God thing so much. Like, I was fine. Nothing happened. It was really weird. I mean, really normal.
Oh, I rolled a 90.
You rolled a 90. Okay.
A 90 out of 80, so I'm only 10 off. But
I think this is worth a D8, so I'll let you roll that. Be the instrument of your own destruction.
Oh, I rolled an 8.
Fantastic. Can you give me an intelligence roll, please?
Yes.
While he's rolling his intelligence, I rolled a 6. How much when I fail my intelligence do I actually lose? I must lose something, do I?
You still lose the 6 points of sanity. You just don't have a bad madness.
Scott, I rolled a 24 out of 55, which is a hard success.
Okay.
Can I take the mirror back off him? Can I?
Well, I think at least for the next 1d10 rounds, I'll let you roll this, Murph. Roll a d10.
It might make him more sane than Dundee Estetoileta and jumping off a second or first story floor.
A 6, Scott.
Okay, so at least for the next 6 rounds, I think you are obsessively proselytizing about, you know, what it is you've just encountered. You've clearly had a brush with a discussion. I mean, obviously, you know, you've got your first disciple in front of you, but there are plenty of others, you know, potentially out there on the streets of Lima. And
I got your back, buddy. I am with you.
And I think as a long term effect, let's give you religious mania.
Oh. I'm an Irish guy. I don't know how to back this up in roleplay at all. I've never learned this in school for the last 25 years or so.
Oh, mate. Okay.
So what great message are you spreading to your first disciple?
No, listen, I talked to God. It was me.
Okay, cool, bro.
He is darkness, a disembodied death. That is God. It's fantastic. He's going to give us power. He's going to give me power. We're going to be powerful.
No. Whoa. He's giving us power, he's giving you power.
Well, he's going to give me power, and I might give it to you because you seem like a nice guy.
I'm down.
Are you with me so far? Now, I just need you to agree to send me $50 every time, every week for the next life.
Okay,
I am
so on board with that.
I don't even care how you get it. We just need to share the love of this darkness god by you know, taking other people's money, essentially. And that will give us power in the material world.
Look, I'm so down to $50, but I have a credit rating of 3, so my spending power is $2 a day, a week.
Then we need to get more nefarious about our efforts.
All right, so we won't have a pyramid scheme, but some sort of trapezoid scheme. I am familiar with this work.
I think
God
it's just called religion in general, but it'll work either way. It'll be fantastic.
Right. Well, I mean, if you want to steal more stuff in pursuit of, you know, to make offerings to your deity, you know a boarding house now where the landlady is incapacitated.
And there was a whole lot of gold there.
So, Jesus. We're trying not to delay the game. We want to secure set up a fucking mic.
No, you give us all these hooks to delay, but...
Look, I mean, God or Jesus or Allah or
no,
John,
this is
one of
those none
crazy
of those.
Mormon
this
guys.
Is none of those.
Like,
this is
talking
this
to his mirror, right?
Yeah. This is the holy mirror, and it was none of those previous false gods. All right, this is the real shit here.
Okay, what's his name?
This black, I don't know his name. I don't think it has. Do I know his name?
Yes, you do. His name is Nyarlathotep.
Oh, of course it is. Shit. I don't know that I can.
Wait, if he says his name, do I have to do a sanity check because of madness and shit?
Well, only if you make a Cthulhu Mythos roll.
His name is Nyarlathotep. And cool. He is our Lord and Savior.
I think I might have heard his name before. Let me think about it.
Yes, think about it. Cthulhu Mythos think again. Really hard. I really want you to make this.
Give me that Cthulhu Mythos roll.
If I don't succeed at fucking Cthulhu Mythos, I've fucking done 6 of these already now. Cool. Oh man, it was real close. 81 versus 10.
Have I gained any Cthulhu Mythos because of that experience?
Oh yes, yeah, sorry. You got 5 points of Cthulhu Mythos. Yes.
Did I get it from my, like, not bleeding eye version of his? Like,
no.
I don't know.
No.
The PG version of his experience.
No, sadly you don't. But but yes, Mr. Ruthven now has 5 points of Cthulhu Mythos.
I failed my Cthulhu Mythos roll. Does that mean I need to roll to sanity?
No.
Oh, thank God.
But
okay, that's... Go on.
No, I was just going to say, while you're piecing together, you know, all of this, let's cut back to, you know, Tess and Dwayne as they're heading down into the cellar of the museum.
I was just going to ask if it's cool if I add a death ray to my weapon stock right now.
It's more believable than what we've done.
I think we're actually playing for the opposite side now. I'm not sure how this works. We might be allied with the people you're trying to kill at the end. I'm not sure.
You could possibly spend a bit of time on your journey up to the Highlands building a death ray. Because, yes, yeah.
As we get out of earshot of the two professors, Dwayne?
Yeah?
I mean, do you feel what I feel right now? Like, we're walking into some bad shit?
No. Well, okay, I think that we got a drug addict possible boss that might be trying to scam us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that professor's an alcoholic.
Yeah, I mean, and clearly a rival, right?
What, our professor?
Yeah.
Danvers? He's not a rival.
Oh, no, not that guy. The other guy.
The other guy?
The new guy.
They're getting along great.
He lost his assistant.
Oh, well, I mean, she's just down there, you know? Who knows? We're going to find her.
Okay. I'm just going to pull out my gun.
I was gonna pull out a flashlight.
We need both, so I'm cool with that.
We're in a museum. Why do you need a gun in a museum?
Things are getting crazy.
We're not getting crazy. Okay, we got an alcoholic dude. He drooled on me and he vomited and what the hell was going on outside? There's no need for a gun.
I'm so screwed when this shit hits the fan.
Mm-hmm.
You can think your way out of debt. That's the way you do it.
It would just make me feel a little bit more safe if one of us was armed. That's all I'm saying. I'm very confident.
You don't have to put it out, but put it in your purse. You know.
It's a shotgun.
Yep, you pulled a shotgun out?
Yeah, my little backpack.
Oh.
I was about to say that's a big purse. Yeah.
I'll carry a purse.
Yes.
Well, my rifle and my machete are back in the room, but I got a multi-tool.
How about you stick with flashlight and I'll stick with firearms?
Oh, yeah, I got a flashlight because we're going in a basement. We're not going on the safari. Who the hell have I signed up with? Let's find this lady so you put your gun away.
So as we're walking down, I'm going to have the rifle aimed at the floor so that, you know, it's not like I'm like walking around all I don't know, whoever that Bugs Bunny guy is
for the love of God, don't shoot a janitor. What the hell? Do we know the assistant's name?
No, you didn't ask.
Okay, so we're just gonna go into the basement and go, assistant. Lady! That works.
It's a short trip back up. We can just go ask. We don't have to go in here without knowing her name.
I'll tell you what, you just walk in there with that shotgun in your hands and be like, excuse me, what's your assistant's name?
I'm going to put it back on my back.
Okay.
I'm not crazy.
On your back is what it's
doing. Been there the whole time.
Okay, let's go back and find out the girl's name.
Okay.
While you're having this discussion about going back, I mean, you've made it down the flight of stairs. I mean, you're in the corridor where the storeroom is.
Okay.
The door to the storeroom is ajar, and as you're turning around and getting ready to head back upstairs, from inside the storeroom, you can hear the sound of something heavy hitting the ground.
Oh, that didn't sound good. That's. What the fuck?
You said it didn't sound good.
I'm gonna open the door, see if something fell on somebody and they're hurt. Don't shoot somebody, Jesus.
It's a Wild West out here.
Is the light on?
You have a flashlight, right?
Well, yeah, I don't need it if the lights are on.
Oh, well, that's fair.
the light is on, but the lighting down here isn't great. I mean, yeah, these are fairly low wattage light bulbs.
Okay.
And yeah, you're looking in what's a fairly large storeroom packed with shelves that, you know, each one of which is filled with boxes and sacks and crates and there's more shadow than light down here.
Okay. I'm going to push the door open, be like, hello?
Yeah, push it open, get out of the way, just in case.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to get out of the way. It was Shotgun Nancy? Is there anyone there?
Okay, give me a listen roll.
Which roll?
Listen.
Listen.
Do you want both of us?
Sure, yeah.
19 versus 60 for me.
22 of 55, so I got a hard.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, you both got hard successes, so you both hear the sound of movement. It's not just the sound of footsteps or anything like that. You hear what sounds like one of the shelves rattling.
Okay, well, I am going to assume that maybe something fell on them and they're tapping for help, so it's like, hello? Are you okay? But I'm also not going to stand directly in front of the,
that's
double barrels of fury.
I'm staying at least 2 to 3 steps in front of you.
Okay, good. So, yeah, let's go. Let's head towards that rapping, tapping noise and see if somebody's hurt.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you creep your way down through the shelves. And, yeah, shining your flashlight down each row, eventually you come to one where, a few items have been knocked on the ground. Particularly, there's one crate that's landed on the ground and partly smashed open. There seems to be something, shiny that's poking out of it. Half buried underneath the crate is what looks like, probably a person, but as you scan the flashlight over it, it takes you a moment to register it as a person because it does look emaciated.
Oh. Well, yeah, let's I'm gonna rush over and I wanna help this person that I think a crate fell on.
As he does that, I'm gonna turn my back on that scene and look around for whatever could be in one of the other aisles.
Okay, give me a hard spot hidden roll. So you're rolling against half of your spot hidden skill here.
Oh man, what's half of 75?
37.
So 5 versus 37.
Well, sorry, 5, did
yes.
you say?
Oh, either way, you're okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm real good.
Fair. So that is an extreme success. So I mean, you shine. Well, actually, did you have a flashlight? You had the shotgun. It sounded like Dwayne had the flashlight.
That's right.
So you're looking around, and You don't see anything down any of the other aisles, and you kind of almost put it in mind. And then you see a bit of movement above you, on the top one of the shelves. And you realize all of a sudden that there's, you know, a hunched human form down there that just all of a sudden is springing down towards you. And I think this is a really good time to cut to what's going on upstairs. So meanwhile, upstairs with Dr. Sanchez, I mean, you know, Dr. Danvers and Jackson are still sitting there having some coffee, waiting. And you know, just chatting about, you know, matters archaeological.
This is very lovely coffee. I can almost feel myself warming up and really feeling myself again. Thank you so much.
And from somewhere outside, you know, maybe across the courtyard or, you know, certainly, you know, around the corner from the building, you hear the sound of someone screaming, you know, a scream of terror that just gets cut short. Jackson jumps up and says, "What the hell was that?"
Danvers goes pale and then just goes,
I don't think I heard anything. Do you like some more coffee?
Damn it, I'm going out to see what that is, he says. Jackson gets up and starts, you know, walking towards the door.
Oh, bother. I'd better go along too. It's been a pleasure to meet you, Professor.
Well, yes. I'll tell you what. I'll call the police. You go out and see what that is, or and we'll good luck. Be careful.
Thank you. I do consider myself a man of action. There's been a few times in Cambridge where things have got rather heated around the discussion table, and I've always fancied living up to the put my money where my mouth is, as it were. Jackson, do you want to wait for me?
Yeah, I mean, Jackson's paused for a moment to pull his .45 out of his satchel, and yeah, he's heading out towards the nearest exit.
Oh, I'm going to take off my other shoe. Let's go.
Okay. You go outside and you can see that there's a bit of smoke coming out of... it seems to be coming out of one of the offices further down in the museum. As you run down the outside of the building, you can see that there's a window that's been broken there. There seems to be a fire inside one of the offices, and there's, you know, a woman lying on the ground bleeding profusely.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to run over to her and try and do some first aid.
You're going to have to clamber in through the window into the burning room to do so.
Oh god, help me, man. Well, let's get to her.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, Jackson gives you a hand in, he follows you in, you know, as well. I mean, the room's filling up with smoke. There's a middle-aged woman lying on the ground. She's bleeding, you know, badly from a stomach wound.
Oh my god, are we meant to move her or not move her? I can't remember. I think maybe...
Let's just stop the bleeding, first of all. Do you want to try making your first aid roll, or are you leaving this up to Jackson?
No, I'll give it a go.
Right. I am not trained in first aid. I rolled a 97 versus 30.
Well,
I pushed too hard.
she was probably going to die anyway. she has a fairly jagged puncture wound, a fairly large puncture wound in her abdomen. As you put pressure on, you possibly put a bit too much pressure on, and you don't really staunch the bleeding, and she'd lost a lot of blood anyway. But as you're doing that, she convulses a bit and then just goes very still.
Oh god, I better push the roll quickly.
I'm going to try and do the kiss of life with a pushed roll.
Okay.
Rolled a 95.
You might have jumped off the second story and shouted, "Done the yesterday."
So I think then her dying action is to vomit.
Oh, for God's sake! I'm meant to be on holiday.
let's cut back down to the cellar, where. So, Dwayne was kneeling down, looking at the emaciated, rather bloody remains of a young woman who's partly buried underneath this fallen crate.
Oh my God!
Her limbs look like sticks. There's no flesh left on her. Her face is drawn back in almost into a skull, and there is a gaping bloody wound in her chest.
Okay, why is this guy sending such a scrawny assistant down here to pick up such a big heavy box?
Oh, Jesus Christ. If I had time, I would scribble idiot back in my notebook.
Okay, I am going to attempt a first aid because she has a big wound, and then we are going to discuss an obvious eating disorder with her once we get her back.
Well, let's have a sanity roll before the first aid roll.
Okay, that's fair. I have a 50 and I rolled a 87. Okay.
Okay, so could you give yourself a D4, Sandals?
D4? Well, let's see how this one goes, huh? 3.
Looking at it, you're fairly sure that, even before you start putting first aid, doing any first aid, that she is dead. You cry out involuntarily in terror as you notice all of a sudden up ahead of you, or rather around the corner, a blur of motion. Let's see how this blur of motion works out. You have a 90 dex and you have a readied weapon, so basically you move before anything. So what is Tess doing at this stage?
Yes.
If that's not a stupid question.
So as this creature is coming down at me, I would just like to sidestep and let it fall onto Dwayne, and then I'll just.
Dwayne's in a different row. You moved into a different row.
Oh.
So you are isolated. From
I
Dwayne.
See. Okay, I am still just going to sidestep and let it fall to the ground, so I can have a more steady shot. So kind of just. Turn on my heels and then shoot while it's on the ground. But
then give me a dodge roll.
I'm gonna let the thing fall on me.
Well, it was in my best interest to do so. okay. 45. 68 of 45.
Okay, then let me just make a roll here. Ooh. You try to sidestep, but it's pretty narrow down here. There isn't enough room to move, and this heavy form, or comparatively heavy form, lands on you and slams you into the ground. Okay, so you take 6 hit points of damage as this thing slams into you and pins you down to the ground. Looking up, winded, you can see. I mean, this is a person. I mean, from the clothes and from the build, it does look an awful lot like de Mendoza, but there's something terribly wrong with his face. His face is just stretching out, pulling in all directions. It's opening up. There is this vast gaping maw where his mouth should be that is just filled with rows of tiny sharp teeth that he is bringing down towards your chest. What's Dwayne doing?
Well, I obviously heard this.
Yes.
Okay.
It's coming from the row next to you.
Okay, yeah. There's this freaky body right here. There's a big crash. I'm going to grab my flashlight, and I'm going to go charging that direction, going, Tess! Tess!
I just scream back, there's a fat second son of a bitch on top of me!
Okay.
Right, so you're running around the corner, and you're going to get there just in time, I think, for de Mendoza to try to get a chance to take a big bite out of Tess. What's Tess doing while de Mendoza does this? In the process of being knocked to the ground, you have dropped your shotgun.
Can you give me a little bit of reference? Is my shotgun at my hand, or like, is it more at the top of my body or bottom? Like, do I even see it in my field of vision?
Give me a luck roll to see whether it's within, within easy reach.
Let's see, 49 of 60. So yeah.
Okay, so yes, I mean, it's, you know, you've dropped it, but, you know, it's just over, you know, by your right hand. I mean, you can get to it, but, you know, picking it up is going to, you know, take a bit of time.
Yeah, I want to take it and at least wedge it in between the two of us, even if I can't shoot it.
So, yeah, I mean, you've got a good deck, so you've got to, you know, you can do that. So basically you're trying to fend him off using the shotgun. So give me a fighting brawl roll.
17 versus 25.
Oh, I hate you so much. I hate you.
Put all these points in shotgun.
And yeah, he has completely failed in his attempt to bite you. So yes, you've got the shotgun under his jaw. You can see this huge maw kind of trying to clamp down on you. Did I ask you for a sanity roll for this? I don't think I did. Let's get that out of the way.
Ooh. Oh. 79 of 90.
Okay, so you lose 6 points of sanity as, you know, having this ravening thing trying to you know, take a big chunk out of you.
That's fair.
Can you give me an intelligence roll, please?
Sure. 17 of 70.
Okay, so that is a success. The good news is you get 5 points of Cthulhu Mythos skill, so give yourself that. The bad news is you are having a bout of madness. And I think in this case, you know, considering the intentions you went round there with, let's say that, you know, for the time being, the red mist has descended, that, you know, you are, you know, until the situation was resolved, everything around you is fair game, you know, everything is hostile, and you are not going to stop until it is all destroyed.
Cool.
So, Dwayne, you're walking over towards her.
Okay.
Completely unrelated.
Before I get shot, let's see what I do.
Okay, so I come around the corner. It's on top of her?
Yeah. I mean, you can see the huge distended mouth. You know, the saliva dripping from it, and it's, you know, it's clearly trying to take a bite out of her. So again, I think a sanity roll.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Okay, so what am I at? I'm at 47, 19, made it.
Okay, so no sanity loss, so you are keeping your shit together at this stage. Mm. So what are you actually doing?
Okay, well, she's already grabbed the shotgun, so I can't grab that. The closest thing I have to a weapon is a big freaking flashlight. And, let's see. So yeah, I am going to smack the shit out of it thing with this flashlight going, you know, like, you know, I'm coming to save you, Tess! And I'm gonna beat the fuck out of this thing.
Okay. It's going to, you know, seeing you from its peripheral vision coming up, it's going to reach up and try to grab the weapon out of your
hand. Oh, it's gonna try.
Because you're outnumbering it, you will get a bonus die on the attack.
Okay. Good, because my brawl's only 45. Let's see. 3 before I even add the d10, and the d10 would be it's either a 3 or a 9.
You're doing maximum damage then, so do you have a damage bonus?
I do not.
Okay, so you're hitting it with a flashlight. Let's be generous and say that does a d4 damage, so that's a maximum of 4 damage. But yeah, it's a good start. So yeah, you crack this thing over the back of the head, and it seems comparatively unimpressed.
Oh shit. Okay. Well, if I have an option, I'm at least gonna try to get it off of her.
Yeah, well, let's see what Tess is doing about the whole situation.
Oh, shit.
Because your last action was defending yourself, so you got a defensive action this round. So what are you doing?
Can I just kick this thing in the crotch really hard to see if I can't flip it up over me so that it lands on its back?
Okay, so you're trying to flip it. Now, because this thing is you know, a lot stronger potentially than you are, that, you know, doing a maneuver like this is actually quite a difficult thing to do, so there will be penalties. What's your damage bonus?
It's a 1d4, and then on my build it says plus 1.
So plus 1, you've got a build of 1. So okay, he's got a build of 2, which means you have a penalty die on your attempt to do this.
Before I try and do this thing, I want to just kind of poke my head around and say, a fucking flashlight! And go for it.
And I think, you know, as you are, you know, trying to, you know, bash the shotgun into his face, while you're doing that, he's going to return the favor, you know, while you're trying to flip him, and he's busy just trying to slam the shotgun. Well, in fact, no, he's busy trying to throw the shotgun out of the way.
Oh, well, is he coming down, like, in a downward motion? Then can I maybe try and use my dex to just push up, like, down further? Like, not in his head instead? That's what I like to do.
Okay, so give me a fighting brawl roll with a penalty die. Okay. And
how do I add a penalty die? Is that just like a...
So just roll a d10 afterwards and let me know what
you
get.
So 74 versus 25 and then a 10.
Okay, so that's not going to make it. So that is a failure, whereas he got a success on his roll. So you try to do that, you try to flip him over, but in the process he's just stronger than you. So he rips the shotgun out of your arms and it just goes clattering down the corridor. Oh, down the row. I'll tell you what, who out of the two of you has got the lower luck?
My luck is a 60.
Also a 60.
Okay, then, Veronica, you make this roll. Give me a luck to see whether the shotgun is going towards Dwayne or away from him.
It's a 66 versus 60.
Okay, so it's heading the wrong way down the corridor, so you and Mendoza are between Dwayne and the shotgun.
Well, then with that plan.
Could I use my luck?
not in the luck.
Okay. So if I can't get to the shotgun and she's this thing is on top of her, I am going to attempt to assist to wrench this stretchy faced motherfucker off of her, and we can either get the fuck out of here, or I can then proceed to shove my flashlight up its nose. But first, I'm getting it off of her.
Okay. So, seeing you come in like this, I mean, as you're reaching in and trying to grab, he's going to respond by, just punching you in the guts, trying to wind you and disable you.
Well, he's going
to
try.
So, give me a fighting brawl roll. What's your build?
My build, 0.
So you've got 2 penalty dice on this.
Oh, no, yeah, I'm pretty aware.
You've only got 1 because you are outnumbering him.
Okay.
So
let's see on my brawl, which is 45, I got a 35 or a 15.
No,
that's a 10.
Forty-five versus 45.
So that's an exact success. He got a hard success on his fight back. Ooh. So, he punches you in the guts for 5 hit points of damage as that fist goes in. You try as you can to pull him off, but he is strong. He is inhumanly strong.
Motherfucker! Okay.
Okay. And I think with that, he's going to have another try at taking a bite out of Tess. What's Tess doing in response to that?
Can I just... Am I still on the ground? I want to try and get up and run.
Okay, so give me a dodge roll then to see whether you can break away from this. Oh, and make it a good one.
I got a 100. So.
It's pretty good. It's hard to match.
I think you said make it a good one.
Yeah, whereas he got
as good as she can roll.
He got an extreme success on his bite. So yeah, as you try to pull away, I mean, you slam your head into the shelves behind you, and this huge disc of a mouth just comes down and latches on, onto your shoulder and tears into the flesh, and it does 6 hit points of damage. Dwayne can see blood just pouring out of this wound. Uh-oh. And then this horrible slurping noise.
Oh, Jesus God!
So it has been a fantastic streaming session on Twitch. Thank you everyone who's been watching and thank everyone who's supported us. and we will be back, hopefully, in the future with the next episode. My name is Joe, and I have been playing Professor Danvers, who's very sensibly approached the last 4 hours of recordings, and I've been joined by some rather fabulous people. So, Owen, how can people get in touch with you? Do you think you want to share?
People can get in touch with me with How We Roll Owen on Twitter, which is EOGHAN, or How We Roll Plays on YouTube, where I stream, or on the new Twitch channel, I guess, HWR Podcast on Twitch. And I've been playing Sean McNulty the Tank, which I definitely, definitely thought would be the most painful, awkward person. Not even the top three. Not even close. Like.
I'm Veronica, and I have been playing Tess. And are you supposed to be more concerned about shoulder pain on the right side or the left side? Which is the bad one? I don't know. But you can follow me and tell me all of your medical knowledge at Typical Veronica, or follow my podcast at CAF Podcast.
Amazing. Seth, how can people get in touch with you? And I think you want to plug.
You can find my YouTube channel at just Seth Skorkowski. Very imaginative name there. You can find me at Twitter at S Skorkowski. And of course, I am also an author, so you can find all of my books and my audiobooks at all the usual things. And I have been playing Dwayne Kempa, who right now is crapping himself. but my shoulders are fine, but I should have worn the brown pants today.
Murph, or should I say Lord High Priest of Nyarlathotep, how can people find you? I think you want to plug.
This is Keeper Murph from the Miskatonic University podcast. You can find me and my other hosts over at the podcast there at mu-podcast.com. And I've been playing William Ruthven, the newly converted priest of Nyarlathotep.
And one of the actual good friends of Jackson Elias, rather than the people he's just met, probably rather annoyed. Scott, well, thank you very much for handling this chaos. Where can people find you and anything you want to plug? I hear you do a really good two-headed serpent campaign.
Oh, yes, yes. But I think handling is an overstatement of what I've been doing here. But yes, yes. People can find me and my good friends Paul Fricker and Matt Sanderson at blasphemoustomes.com, which is the home of the Good Friends of Jackson Elias podcast, and also has details of all the various Call of Cthulhu and other projects that we work on.
Fantastic. And again, a huge thank you for you all to joining us. It's been a real honor, and I think it has actually almost taken a year to get everyone around this table, so it's been a lot of fun. It's not what I expected at all.
join the fucking club, Joe.
I haven't laughed so much in a really long time, and it does seem that Twitch chat has been blown up over it, so it has been a great night, and let's try and organize it again sometime. Thank you all very, very much.